Morning. My burden today is a simple message, a reminder of a very basic and simple truth. So I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. This is Moses speaking to Joshua before Moses was to die. He was giving Joshua the charge of leadership, God's people, to take them on into the Canaan land. And what he said here from the Lord has been a great encouragement to many. Let's see, in verse 7, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Up ahead in verse 6, he had said about like that. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. So we have here the promise that he goes with you. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. But I like this in the 8th verse where it says, he it is that doth go before thee. I'm thankful this morning that we have a divine leader. We have a strong commander who doesn't just give commands from a remote place, but he leads us by going before us. He has been there before us wherever we're to go, wherever he leads us. He is there before us. He leads us by example. He first has sampled and has experienced everything that we're going to experience. And he knows it. He understands it. He understands the places where he takes us because he goes there before us. I'm thankful for this promise that he has given here. It's quoted several other times in the scriptures. They referred back to this one where he promised, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And I think about the one in, I believe it's Hebrews 13 and 5. He warns us in that verse against being covetous, against grasping for riches and for the next to gain more and more. He warns us against that, and he gives us instead an admonition to be content because we have this promise. Hebrews 13 and 5, he says, take heed. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that's where it comes from. It comes from this promise right here. We know that Jesus promised us also before he ascended, as he gave his disciples a promise of the Holy Spirit to come and be with them. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age or the end of the world. But we have that promise. And then he said in John 14, I believe it is, where he gave the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I will not abandon you. Another place in Isaiah, he says, I believe it's Isaiah 42:16. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. So we have this morning, I was observing in the songs that we sang, it was a prayer. God, be thou with me every hour. It was a prayer. And I thought, because I had these verses in my mind, He's already answered that prayer in a promise. And we need to have in us a real dependence and belief in that promise. And never never allow Satan to make you feel that God has forsaken you, because he has promised right here, I will not fail thee, I will not forsake thee. So he has given us, we can pray that, we can have that sense of, Lord, how awful it would be if I were without you. But this morning, dear ones, we can understand through God's word, he's given us this clear promise. I will not forsake you. When we say, be thou near me every hour, we can answer that with the thought, I know you're near me every hour. And as the sun, the example of the sun was brought out earlier, it's just like that in this truth also, that the sun is always there. We may be turned away so that our side of the world is in the shadow of the world itself. We're on the shadow side. Does that mean the sun has gone away? Sometimes maybe when we were children, maybe we thought that when night came that the sun had gone away. But when we learned in science, we learned that our world had just turned, so that the sun was still shining, but we were on the shadow side. And what happens? It still keeps on turning, and pretty soon the sun appears to come up for us, but what's really happening is that we're turning toward it. We're seeing the sun again, because our side of the world is coming to the side where the sun is. That's morning and night. That's what that is in our world. When there's clouds, there can be clouds so thick that we can't see the sun. I remember my mother telling me of a time where she said we went, I can't remember how many days though she said, but there were so many days that they went without seeing the sun. And there was a time like that back in, I remember Dan's mother was staying with us all during that time, and she was a person whose even her physical being was affected by the sun or dark days. It was depressing to her. And we went nearly the whole month of May and did not see the sun. It was so cloudy. But the sun was still there. There are other things that happen with the sun. I remember this very past August, was it? When we had the eclipse. Went over to Paducah. And we were there, and I've never seen anything like that. It made me aware of the realness of the coming of the Lord. But we were there, and it just began to grow dark. And it just got dark, and the lights came on. The kind of lights that come on when it's growing dark at night, the lights on that campus began to come on until you could see them, you know, in broad daylight. And it was noon. It should have been at the brightest time, but there was an eclipse. There was the moon coming in front of, making a shadow for us on the earth of the moon, and it was dark. But was the sun gone? No. The sun was still there, even though it was eclipsed by something else. Well, that is the truth that comes to us, and that was brought out this morning. He said, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I appreciate that truth, but what I really am burdened about is this one right here. He it is that doth go before thee. He goes before us. John chapter 10. I'm thankful for this simple truth as well this morning, to know that the Lord, in him there are no surprises. There are no accidents in God. He goes before us. He knows what's coming for us. He prepares us for the things that are sudden. They may be sudden to us, but they are not sudden to God. He said here, and verse 4, John 10 and 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. He goes on down and explains more about how he is the good shepherd. He's not a thief or a robber. He is the door of the sheep. He is the one that lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That is the good shepherd. That is Christ. And in, there's thoughts that are brought out where he gives his people little shepherds too, who go in through him, who partake of him, and who lead others by their example of following him. But I'd like to just point us to him today. I want us to be little sheep, to consider ourselves as sheep, to follow him because he goes before us. There's other scriptures that help us to know how the Lord does his sheep. This one says he lays down his life for his sheep. He knows his sheep. They follow him because they know his voice. One of the scriptures when I was raising my children, one of the scriptures that was such a comfort to me during those years was in Isaiah 40, verse 11. And I want to give this scripture of comfort to you mothers this morning. Verse 11 of Isaiah 40 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. This is talking about God. Talking about the Messiah, Christ. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. That's our children. That was a great comfort to me as a mother, as a young mother, to know that I wasn't mothering them alone. We weren't parenting alone. But Jesus was there to gather our little ones in his arms like a shepherd. He was there to guard them and to keep them from danger and from harm. That was a great comfort. And of course, we do our best. We do our best as little shepherds, as mothers and fathers, to help our children and to protect them. But there is one who holds our children in his arms. I'm sure that many times parents who have gone through death with their children, I know my parents did, that it didn't mean that the Lord didn't gather them in his arms, but at that time he gathered them and took them home with him. And still they were protected and kept. It says he'll gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I believe that means those physically who are bearing children at that childbearing age and having children. The Lord does not deal with us unmercifully in our times of weakness, our times of sickness, illness, in this time of life, bearing and carrying children. It says he gently leads those that are with young. Haven't you felt this morning the gentle dealings of the Holy Spirit when you've felt incapable and unknowing and a little bit just in the dark? I don't know. What's going on here? This is a fearful task I've got of raising these children, and I don't feel well, and things aren't under control like I'd like. The scripture here says he gently leads those that are with young. Another scripture in Isaiah 53 talks about us being as sheep. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Again, the Lord deals with us as a shepherd. When we stray, the scripture, another scripture talks about, and I don't know if I can find this one or not, but it's either in Ezekiel or Jeremiah, but he said that he goes after him. He seeks after his sheep. And again, the thought of him establishing pastors or little shepherds to help care for the sheep. He really strongly rebuked those in the scriptures that did not care for the weak sheep and those that had gone astray. But he said, I will go after them. I will seek for my sheep. Can you find something like that? I'm looking, but I'm not.
Ezekiel 34.
Yeah, I'm looking right in there, but I didn't see it. Yes, as a shepherd, verse 12, seeketh out, well, verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. I want to tell you, when we begin to stray from the Lord, then the Lord knows just where we get off. He knows what trips us up in our lives. And he knows how to go after us. He said, I'll search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Now there's a lot of spiritual lessons here. I won't go into every one. My thought mainly is to point us to the shepherd and how he deals with us, and how he cares for us, and the things that he does for our souls as a shepherd. My heart's prayer this morning is, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. He goes on in verse 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. These are all wonderful promises this morning. He will not leave us or forsake us. He will gently lead us that are with young and have young sheep. He will carry our lambs in his bosom. And if we're a lamb this morning, he'll carry us. He'll feed us and he'll cause us to lie down. He'll go before us. He'll seek after us when we go astray. He will bring that which was driven away. He will bind up that which was broken, strengthen that which was sick. These are all the things that the Lord has said he will do for our souls. He is the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep, and he knows us. He knows us. I believe every soul that yearns toward him, the Lord just knows that. He knows those souls. He goes and he tries to seek after those souls and bring them not to bondage, but to a good pasture, to a good fold. He wants to cause us to lie down, to be at rest, spiritual rest. Thank the Lord. Thank you for helping me with that chapter there. Now I want to go to Psalm 23 and just talk a little bit about what this can mean in the detail of it in our lives. And I have a little help here from something that I read a long time ago in The Shepherd Looks at 23rd Psalm. If you have that book and you haven't read it in a while, get it out and read it. And if you've never read that, I would suggest you reading it. It explains the 23rd Psalm as a shepherd who knows all about keeping sheep. He can explain this psalm in such a real way. It's just amazing. And the one that I would like to focus on was this one in verse 5. Well, we can just read through it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I'd like to just talk to us a little bit about this, thou preparest a table before me. This man who was a shepherd in the mountains of Africa, he said that the high pasture lands that were so rich is the goal of the shepherd. Whenever the winter is over, he seeks to lead his flock up into those lands. And they're called tablelands, or in Spanish, they're known as a mesa. In African, it's the same word. They use the same word, mesa, and it means the flat pasture land, that's good pasture. And that's where he wants to take us. But before the shepherd takes the sheep up there in the spring, he goes and he scouts out everywhere where his sheep are going to pasture. He goes and he gathers out all the noxious, poisonous weeds. He pulls them up. He gets them out of there so his sheep won't eat them. He also looks around for traces of enemies. Are there traces of wolves or coyotes? The birds, the carrion birds, the birds of prey, snakes, all of those different enemies that would be enemies of the sheep. He checks out that land. He prepares it for his sheep. He goes before them and looks at where they're going to be, and he takes everything out that would harm his sheep. He also goes to the watering holes that are there, and he cleans them out of rubbish and makes sure that they're unstopped from the winter, the twigs and the leaves and anything that stopped up the water holes. He cleans them out. That's what he says here in this. It was the entire high summer range. The energetic and aggressive sheep owner takes the time and trouble to ready them for the arrival of his flocks. Early in the season, and even before all the snow has melted, he will go ahead and make preliminary survey trips into this rough, wild country. He'll look it over with great care, keeping ever in his mind its best use for his flock in the coming season. And then, just before the sheep will arrive, he'll make another expedition to prepare the tableland. He takes along a supply of salt and minerals, and he scatters them over the land. He looks for signs of poisonous weeds. He takes note of predators. And he looks to the watering holes and the drinking places and cleans them out. This has been a great blessing to me when I consider the Lord going before us and the things that he does in our lives to prepare a place for our souls. In the presence of our enemies, it says, thou preparest a table. Now that's what this means, is he prepares the place where we're going to be so that we can eat, that we can be spiritually fed. I was wondering, now Lord, if you do this and you go before us and you take the things out of our paths that would harm us, then how sometimes we do have things that harm us. And the comfort of the Lord is this, is that, yes, he takes things out of our lives many times and keeps us from troubles many times. I know he'll warn us. He will cause us. He'll prevent us. He will actually keep us from going places, and he'll detain us. How many times the saints have had testimonies of, so I had a flat tire, and later I learned that where I would have been at the time, if I had not had a flat tire, I would have suffered great harm, but instead I had this inconvenience and it kept me from harm. That the saints have many testimonies like that. I know the Lord goes before us and he takes things that harm us out of the way. Sometimes he doesn't do that in rare cases. He does allow his saints to go through harm, but he's still there. If he left it there for us, then it's his will for us to go through it. He's going to take us through. And that made me think of another a song that I had heard. Oh, several years ago, I heard this song, and it really touched me. And you probably, Alan and Samantha, you probably know this one. Maybe some of the rest of us don't, but it says, if the passion for living seems gone and the trials have taken your song, there's an echo of the truth and it's ringing in my heart from my youth. He won't keep you from the trials, but he'll sure keep you through. And that is a part of the preparation, that he goes and he prepares a place for us, a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He may not rid everything out of our path that would harm us, but what he doesn't keep us from, he'll keep us through. He'll keep you through the fire when it becomes a furnace. He'll keep you through the waters when they become a flood. He would not make what he could not keep, and he will not start what he can't complete. What he does not keep you from, he'll keep you through. He didn't keep Noah from the flood that came. He didn't keep Moses from 40 years of pain. Now there was Daniel, Paul, and Silas, and the Hebrew boys, just to name a few. When he did not keep them from, they knew that he would keep them through. He'll keep you through the fire when it becomes a furnace. He'll keep you through the waters when they become a flood. He would not make what he could not keep. He did not start what he can't complete. What he does not keep you from, he'll keep you through. Well, I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to share this morning. Very simple thought, but I hope that it will remain with us in the days ahead. How wonderful we have a wonderful shepherd.